Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 24th, 2017. South Sudan's vice president says South Sudanese must learn to tighten their belts.
This one we want to assure our people not to worry and that we are going to handle the situation tomorrow.
And a UN panel of experts says the situation in South Sudan is worrying.
What we've documented and what has been reported by many other entities is the relentless displacement of people from South Sudan, the declining food security situation, the increased insecurity and the spread of the conflict into even more areas of the country.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's Supreme Court justices and judges suspended their countrywide strike. A spokesman for the justice and judges, Justice Gary Raymond, says they have given the government 1 week to meet their demands.
Due to continue dialogue with the presidency, we justices and judges in our General Assembly meeting have decided to postpone our open strike across the country with effect from Monday, 24th of April, 2017, until Monday, 1st of May, 2017.
Last week, judges and justices called on President Salva Kiir to fire the country's chief justice and increase the salaries of all judges across the country. The judges blamed Chief Justice Chan Rek Madud for not addressing workplace issues affecting South Sudanese judges. Justice Raymond says they are meeting with President Kiir to try to reach what he calls a win-win solution this week.
We are very mindful about the general policy of the country. Dialogue is number one. A strike is not our objective, but it is a process towards the goal. We are undergoing discussion, and serious meetings since Friday up to today. The committee, even after this meeting, we are going for another meeting, and we will continue meeting until we arrive to consensus.
But the judges say if the talks fail, they will continue with their strike early next month. This is the second time judges and justices have threatened to walk off the job. Last June, they refused to go to work for 2 weeks over unpaid arrears and poor living conditions. Residents of Juba woke up to a shock this morning as armored vehicles, tanks and soldiers are deployed along the streets of the capital. Ateny Wekateny says the deployment is in anticipation of a nationwide protest by people he did not mention their names. The deployment came amid soaring prices of goods across South Sudan. The skyrocketing food prices has been on the agenda for most South Sudanese in the capital Juba. Presidential spokesman Ateny Wekateny told reporters in a news conference this afternoon at the State House that the tanks and the soldiers were deployed amid fears of attacks from what he calls forces. He did not elaborate much, but was too quick to say government soldiers will protect civilians and government institutions.
The security was coming out, to show to the people of South Sudan that they are secure, because it is at least to protect the government installation, you know, against any rampage, you know, like, you know, yesterday the rumors were going out like, you know, some forces will come out and go on a rampage in the market or goes out to loot, you know. This is the information that has come out. You cannot deny the rumor, okay, outrightly without taking precautions. So the security has taken precautions so that nobody actually comes out and nobody is harmed as a result of those rumors that are being created.
President Salva Kiir and his two deputies, First Vice President Taban Dengai and Vice President Waniga, have been locked up in a meeting since this morning. Sources at the presidency say the three leaders are discussing a number of issues, including the economic crisis. Vice President Waniga emerged from the lengthy meeting and told reporters that the government is looking for suitable action to combat the economic crisis.
This one we want to assure our people not to worry and that we are going to handle the situation tomorrow.
Waniga did not provide details when pressed by journalists to explain the measures the three leaders have come up with to address the economic crisis.
No, let us not cross the river before reaching it. We have not yet finalized about it. When you ask me that question, maybe tomorrow, I will be able to tell you what we have finalized about it.
The three leaders also discussed the ongoing insecurity in Wau and the national dialogue that did not kick off in March as proposed by President Salva Kiir late last year. Information Minister Michael Makuei and the presidential spokesman Ateny Wek Ateny said rebels and their supporters are not invited for the national dialogue. That report was prepared by Waki Simon Wudu in Juba. In a new report, the UN panel of experts on South Sudan says the conflict is not only spreading, but the leadership and the country as a whole continues to fracture. As we hear from Ayen Bior in Washington, the warring parties continue to firm their forces while the humanitarian crisis worsens.
The April 13th UN Panel of Experts report on South Sudan was released to the public over the weekend and details the abuses committed by the warring parties, including the obstruction of humanitarian assistance and attacks on aid workers and civilians. It also describes the splintering of high-profile leaders in government and the opposition, such as former SPLA Lieutenant General Thomas Cirilo Swaka, who left the army and formed his own opposition movement in March. Clem Ryan is the acting coordinator for the panel.
What you see is that the trajectory for the war is sadly, in every main indicator, is downward. What we've documented and what has been reported by many other entities is the relentless displacement of people from South Sudan, the declining food security situation, the increased insecurity and the spread of the conflict into even more areas of the country.
The 51-page report says the de facto collapse of the 2015 peace deal has left South Sudan with a political arrangement between President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Taban Dengai, who Mr. Kiir appointed to replace former First Vice President Riek Machar after fighting broke out in the capital last July. The panel argues that this arrangement marginalizes segments of the opposition, including armed elements. The panel also says the command and control structure of the opposition groups is an increasingly multifaceted mixture of forces, which include dissident groups with diverse grievances, goals, and approaches to the conflict. Ryan says many of the opposition groups are not under the direct control of Machar's SPLM-IO, but are loosely affiliated with him. Ryan says there is strong evidence that the government continues to procure weapons, even as the humanitarian conditions deteriorate. The panel heard testimony indicating opposition groups have also acquired arms, although their supply appears to be in lower numbers than those of the South Sudan Army. Ryan says the deteriorating economy has also played a significant role in the spread of violence.
This is driving frustration within communities. It's driving tensions at the national level. You have an army that's increasingly not paid, and people are having difficulty getting access to resources. So that aspect is spreading, I think, many of the original tensions, so the original issues around the conflict.
Panel experts write that the leadership in Juba launched a massive military operation in April 2015 by perpetrating systematic brutal violence and targeting civilians. The panel argues that food security in Unity State began to dramatically change, particularly in the areas where famine has been declared. Ayen Bior, VOA News, Washington.
South Sudan's Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning says it's taking measures to create a modern non-oil revenue system and reform the country's tax collection system. The move, if implemented, will help diversify the economy and move the country away from huge dependence on oil, according to the finance ministry. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Juba.
The sharp fall in oil prices on the global market has hit South Sudan extremely hard because the country's economy is almost totally dependent on its oil revenues. South Sudan Deputy Finance Minister Mau Ambrose Thiek says the economic crisis and continued fighting across the country has paralyzed oil production. Ambrose says his ministry is determined to develop a strong non-oil revenue system.
The country's physical capacity is very weak due to low capacity of oil revenues and weak non-oil revenue system at both national and state level.
Ambrose says his ministry is working with Jubek and Awil states on reforming their tax systems with technical and financial assistance from the United Nations Development Program and the government of Japan.
The government revenue modernization agenda is aimed to diversifying and widening revenue bases, improving tax collection, and combating tax evasion and illicit financial flows.
Ambrose says, once the donor-funded projects in the two states are successful, his ministry will replicate them in other states across the country. He says his government has also established a National Revenue Authority, which has been given clear instructions to reform the country's tax collection system.
Review the existing tax laws and bring them to the line with international best practices. To develop appropriate regulations to operationalize the Tax Act. Introducing of integrated ICT system to support tax administration.
The UNDP in Japan organized a forum for senior government officials in Juba to discuss how to reform South Sudan's revenue system. Biplav Koldhari, a senior program advisor at UNDP, says the new measures are needed at a time when South Sudan's economic and humanitarian situation is dire.
The humanitarian needs are now estimated at around 7.5 million. They are fast sort of spiraling out of control, so to speak. And the bulk of the country's young population is reeling with food insecurity, malnutrition, lack of shelter, severely underserved and unserved community needs on basic social services, disruption of livelihoods, and lack of employment opportunities, with women and children being hit hardest.
Koldhari says financial reform can succeed in South Sudan if the government is truly committed to implementing the recommendations of financial experts and donors.
Fortunately, the cross-country experiences of other countries which have been in post-conflict situations, it shows that despite challenges, despite uncertainties, progress on public finance reforms is possible. And it has been done in other places.
Jubek State Minister of Finance John Gino Loko says the Council of Ministers in Jubek has passed a new tax reforms policy and awaiting the final approval of the State Legislative Assembly.
We, the two beneficiary states, have demonstrated political will and commitment to implementing the reform to the benefit of our people who need urgent service delivery.
Gino says building an efficient and transparent tax system would improve the delivery of services such as education, healthcare, and clean water to the residents of Jubek State. Awil State has also approved a tax harmonization act. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biaju in Juba.
The South Sudan Civil Society Alliance is decrying the continued worsening economic situation in the country. The head of the alliance says most families cannot afford the prices of basic food commodities as the South Sudanese pounds weakened considerably against the U.S. dollar over the past several months. For VOA News, Michael Atit has more on the story from Juba.
Civil society activists called a press conference today in Juba to express their disappointment at the way Kiir administration is handling the economic crisis. The chairman of the alliance, Akoch Ajang Nyanom, says it is an open secret that the country's economy has collapsed and the government needs to come up with a solution.
We are facing a very severe economic crisis as we speak. The values of South Sudanese pound versus U.S. dollars has been seen last week to be struggling, and the currency of South Sudan has totally lost the value.
Last week, one U.S. dollar was equal to 1,300 South Sudanese pounds. Today, 100 U.S. dollars equals 21,000 South Sudanese pounds in the black market. Ajang says most families are not able to put food on their table because of the high prices. A 1.5 liter of bottle of water sold for 40 South Sudanese pounds a week ago. Today, it is sold at 60 South Sudanese pounds. The cost of a barrel of water has jumped from 30 South Sudanese pounds to 100 South Sudanese pounds in a week's time. Ajang says On top of the high market prices, government employees, including army and other security forces, have not been paid for the last 4 months.
The commodities prices in the country, across the country, are shocking. Yet the salary that we receive, the working class, they are not affordable. Above all this, the insecurity is affecting most of the families.
Ajang says corrupt individuals are benefiting from the crisis affecting the country. He says some individuals are profiting from South Sudan's war, but he refused to name names.
There are individuals who are benefiting from the war, whether from getting profit from buying guns or weapons. There are individuals who are actually benefiting from the weak system that we are in, simply because they are either using their titles or powers to embezzle money or to practice thefts.
The Civil Society Alliance chairman says insecurity has prevented many farmers from cultivating their lands. Ajang is calling on the government, civil society activists and religious leaders to find lasting solution to the economic crisis.
We are going to work strongly together to build this nation, to improve the situation of the economy, of the insecurity, and deliver services by working together. It is very unfortunate that most of the advice that we always give to the concerned institution not attended to.
It is also critical that the armed opposition stop fighting and join the national dialogue proposed by President Kiir, according to Ajang, who says peace can come to South Sudan through dialogue. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
From Juba, we go to Torit, where residents there are complaining about skyrocketing food prices. The residents say the prices of basic food commodities go up every day, and most families cannot afford to put food on the table. Some residents say the outrageous prices could spark a nationwide protest. Dimo Silva Aurelio has details for that story from Torit.
Traders in Torit increase the prices of food commodities every time the country's currency weakens against the dollar. Within days, a kilogram of sugar rose from 150 South Sudanese pounds to 210 pounds. The price of bar soap jumped from 60 South Sudanese pounds to 350, and a 50 kilogram of maize flour went from 4,500 South Sudanese pounds to 6,000 pounds. Torit resident Oyela Catherine says things cannot go on like this.
So according to me, for the things I've seen in this market, for sure, I think if our leaders, the governor and then the mayor, they have to talk about this thing which is affecting us people of Torit. Because per now, you can get 1 kilo of maize flour. It is 200 pounds. By the way, people, where are we going? Are we in the country? What's wrong with our elder people? I think they have to know what people are doing, especially in the market. I think even in the schools, even to get money now for feeding the children and then for the school fees, it will be more.
Catherine wants citizens to rise up and challenge the situation in a peaceful, non-violent way.
I can't. If people are behind me, we can go together with them to demonstrate, because this thing is too much.
Idua Esther went to Torit Old Market today to buy some basic items. Speaking in Arabic, she says she was unable to buy anything because prices rose overnight. Yesterday, I came to the market to buy greens. I got the price is 10 South Sudanese pounds. Yet we used to buy at 5 South Sudanese pounds, she says. And a peel or plastic bag is also at 10 South Sudanese pounds. Idua says she asked a bar of soap. She was told it is at 350 South Sudanese pounds. She left and went home. Today, she came to buy cabbage. They told her it is at 300 South Sudanese pounds. A resident who identified himself only as Dominic for fear of government recrimination says the government must stop the constant increase in prices.
This is a complete death. This country has no father, no responsible leaders. Things are increasing every day. today a different price and tomorrow a different one. Everyone charges his or her own price. This is completely bad.
Ihiju Carletta, another Turit resident, agrees.
Like this one I've bought now, this one is for £50. 50 only. And this one also, 60. There's no any changes. Things are just increasing.
Carletta says the situation is going to force many leave the country. Some traders say even with the increased prices, they have made very little profit because most Turit residents are unable to afford the high prices. Khalif Bashir sells food items at Turit's old market. He says it is difficult to explain to customers why they have increased the prices.
For the last 3 to 4 days, things have changed totally. The dollar has risen, the prices of the commodities has risen also. For the last 2 days even, we were not able to sell. We almost to close the shops. We had to close the shop because the dollar has risen from 15 up to 20. And the most problem we're having from here is to get the dollar from Turit is very, very hard. So when we sell the cash that we're having, like the pounds, for us to keep them, like the last 2 days, it was weekend. So from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, since there's no bank, we cannot sell our commodities. That's why that most of the problem that forced us to close the shops like yesterday and the other days. The flow of customers has reduced because most of the people, when they come and ask the prices, they really feel bad. Yeah.
Hidita Lili is the chairperson of the Imotong Estate Chamber of Commerce. She says her office has no immediate solution to change the high market prices. Lily says her only recommendation is that the government give grants to traders in dollars in order to buy goods from neighboring countries.
We cannot do anything because people are using their own money. And what the traders are telling us that there's money, but they could not able to get the dollars. Even though you get the dollar, maybe you get dollar with the 17 or 16. Then this $100 cannot bring you anything. Even though you have like a 50, this 50 cannot bring even $3,000. This $3,000, imagine this. Now, that's no, it's a challenge. It's a challenge, real.
The government in Juba has deployed armored vehicles on the streets of Juba to crack down on any protests that may arise by civil society groups. President Kiir's spokesman Ateng Wek Ateng says the government has information that some groups are planning to organize a nationwide demonstration to protest the way the Kiir administration has handled the worsening economic crisis in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Turit.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at what musicians and comedians are saying about the worsening economic crisis in South Sudan. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how many languages do you speak?
Swahili is a major. Then I speak in my mother tongue. Then I speak Arabic. Then I speak official language, which actually is English. Yeah, that is the full language which I really speak and write and communicate.
I speak my local language, which is Zande language, some simple Arabic, English, and some little Luganda.
I can speak almost 5 languages. My language, Kuku, Swahili, Madi, Arabic, but it's somehow, but can help me. Even English is not fluent, but can help me a bit.
One is English, second is Arabic, and then local language from Luo language, and then Dinka language.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese artists and comedians say the country's humanitarian and political crisis are getting out of control, but they are urging youth not to get involved in fighting and the spreading of hate speech. South Sudan music legend Emmanuel Kembe believes arts and music is the only way to unite youth. Tito Justin attended a Comedy for Peace event yesterday and has this report for VOA from Juba. What's up?
Sudanese musician Emmanuel Kembe sings Wasa Sika Salam Ja, which means pave the way, peace is coming. Thousands of youth gathered yesterday to attend UNMISS's sponsored concert at the Nyokron Cultural Center, where about 15 of South Sudan's nationally recognized artists and comedians performed. Emmanuel Kembe says he was born and raised during the war and has used music during the 21-year struggle for independence and afterwards to give hope to the people of South Sudan. He says, although the conflict continues, he believes arts and music can bring South Sudanese together.
I believe that the people of South Sudan don't need less than peace and security, and for them to prepare themselves for any other activities that can enable the community to work, like agriculture. People want to cultivate. It's now time. Rainy season is coming.
Tony Manas sings with the group Gospel Star Eagles. Tony says he's encouraged to see youth from different tribes gathered together. Tony is urging youth across South Sudan to continue to coexist peacefully and to work toward building one nation.
So with all the crisis and all this that is happening in my country, you know, as a musician, I have to speak out. And this is a chance for me, like, organized by the UNMISS. I mean, like, to bring people together, the youth and many other people. So as coming here, my many particular point and achievement is to see peace spread across in the hearts of people, as we sing these songs, you know, and to motivate that, yes, we can come out of this and we can get together as one people.
Eric Lana Ladu, also known as Crazy Fox, says he cannot stand by as hate speech, fighting and tribalism tear the country apart.
We have to hold back, give support to our people. Let's be the hope. If we hate ourselves or if we go around fighting, you know, there will be no solution to all the problems that is happening. So the youth have to, like, be together, hold themselves together, whatever that our fathers and our, you know, past grandpas did.
Juba comedian Philip Omoni, known by his stage name, Phil Free, says he will not give up sending the message of peace to the people.
We are fighting for peace. Because as we know what is happening in the country, there is fighting everywhere. People are moving up and down. Prices are going high. It is the only way that we have to make sure that we unite. So we have to make sure that we come together as one nation, as one people.
Inaju Ruben of the UNMISS Community Outreach Unit says he was impressed to see so many young people gathered for the sake of peace.
I believe that the message is already going out. So what we look forward for the youth, we are looking for a youth with a united front that will stand up and say, South Sudan belongs to us. We will do everything to make sure that this country is developed. We are going to work with all peace-loving people in this country to ensure that our children enjoy a better South Sudan.
The youth attending the concert say they will work to spread the message of peace so that they can stay in their country and develop it into a prosperous, peaceful nation. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
We will leave you with that song and a guide by Crazy Fox, who was one of the artists at the concert. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here and join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
I have no place for one. Me afraid I burn you.